Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Ed.
And my name is Jeff.
And in this podcast, we're going to zero in on churches that send direct and some of the foundational things they need to consider and to have in place in order to send their own well. Now, here at Shepherd Staff, we love this phrase, sending direct, because it's kind of why we exist. So, Jeff, will you explain what it means?
Well, basically, what it means is that a church has chosen to send one of their own missionaries, one of their own members, to become a missionary directly to the field. The more traditional approach, the historic approach, has been to send their people through a traditional missions agency, which is doing various works around the world. And now this member of their church has caught the vision of that agency, and the church lets that agency send their people to the field. And basically, the local church is supplying the traditional missions agencies with human resources, people, and with the funds for the agency to accomplish their mission. But many churches today want to send their own people direct to the field. And so we deal as a ministry with churches that say, you know what, although we love and respect traditional agencies, we want to send our own people as an expression of our heart and our vision and our love for the world directly to the field, and then care for those that we send.
Well, that's a great explanation for us. Now that we know what we're referring to, can you describe what may have led a local church in their decision to send one or more of their own members directly to the field?
Yeah, there are some key things that are, you know, sort of earmarks of churches that want to send direct. Well, first of all, is that most churches that have decided to go down this path, they've already been involved with sending short-term teams from their own church for a while. In other words, they already have an apparatus or a process in place of sending short-term missionaries overseas, and their members have gone on these trips. They may even have actually a written policy for short-term missions. Now, here comes a person who's been on one of those trips, and this is the primary way most missionaries are found today, although there are other on-ramps to get to the field. But basically, a person on one of those teams now feels God's calling them to go. And so their home church recognizes their call. They see that they're the kind of person that actually could pack up and move to the other side of the world. And they recognize and confirm the call in their life. And so because the church loves this person, they're an integral part of their body, the church wants to be hands-on in sending this person. In a sense, they're viewing the person going as an expression of their vision. It's like sending a family member to the other side of the world. And they not only want to send that person well and care for them well, but they also desire the blessings of being as engaged as possible in sending their own. You know, one of the things that I've found over the years in the churches that we've worked with is most of the churches that have made this decision, they're unfamiliar with even the basics of how to send a long-term missionary direct in a way that glorifies God, in a way that blesses the missionaries that are sent at various levels, in a way that blesses and helps the church itself to mature in its global endeavors and influence, and in a way that successfully touches the people that the missionary is being sent to live among and represent Jesus to. They haven't really thought through how do we make all of those things happen by the way we send this missionary.
Oh, well said. I like the idea that the sending uses the whole body, and then the sending also allows the expression of the gifts within the missionaries that go, whether they be an individual or a family. Okay, so knowing what we mean when we say churches that send direct, and what may have led to a church considering to do so, and even a bit of what they ultimately should desire to accomplish, what are the essential components that a church that sends direct should have in place in order to increase the likelihood of success within the sending and in the going?
Well, basically, there's one major question that they need to answer prior to sending a missionary. And then there's four foundational mechanisms or structures that they need to be willing to establish in order to make it possible for them to send their own well. Let me just zero in on the key question. And it sounds kind of, maybe oversimplified, but hey, does the local church want to be the administrator of the money or the funding component for their people? In other words, missionaries generally are going to raise their own personal support. There's going to be people that give, donors. The church needs to decide, do we want to handle the receiving and the receiving of the donations that come in for the missionary? Do we want to handle distributing those funds to the missionary? If they do, they need to make sure that they're doing it in a way that's in an IRS-approved manner, following IRS guidelines. Actually, missionaries are required to be in W-2 or employee status, which creates work for the home church administrative staff. They should not be in 1099 self-employed status. So the church needs to decide right up front, do we want to do the administrative component of missions as we send our own directly? If it can be done efficiently and churches are willing to maybe restructure their administrative component, then they should move forward with doing that. And again, we're here to help even with that kind of thing. But a lot of churches choose to farm out that administrative component. And that's one of the things we do at Shepherd Staff is we provide this administrative service for local churches. And in a sense, by us worrying about that and taking care of that, they can concentrate then on actually sending and caring for their missionary the right way.
Yeah, if we can lift that administrative load off their shoulders, so to speak, it allows the church to mostly focus on the relational aspect of sending their own well.
Exactly. And so you know, that's a crucial thing that the church needs to consider. Do we do the administrative component ourselves, or do we farm it out? Then there are four structures that we recommend that the church establishes prior to sending their own missionaries so that they can send them well. And the first thing that we recommend is a short, concise, written missions policy. A lot of churches have policies for their children's ministry, for their home fellowships, for the men's ministry or the women's ministry. Churches that are involved in short-term missions, they may have a written policy for their short-term missions ministry. But sending missionaries, in a sense, requires a good laid-out path or process for a missionary to follow. And what it does when you create a written missions policy, and it's specific for people that are going to go live in another country sent out by the church, what it does is it lays out a clear path or process for the missionary to follow, and then it gives the leadership of the church the opportunity to observe how this person has followed the path. Have they gone along with the process? Did they complete the things, the hoops that were laid out in the policy? Have they jumped through those hoops? And it gives you a pretty good indicator of how faithful, how reliable, how responsible the missionary is going to be once they're out there, if they've already proven the kind of person they are by going through the written policy process that's been laid out.
Now, I know some churches, whether they be an elder-led church or maybe there's a missions pastor or whatever the situation of leadership is, they're just thinking right now, oh my goodness, a policy, this sounds overwhelming. Are we able to help them establish a policy, Jeff?
Absolutely. And, one of the things that we've done for dozens of churches is actually help them write a specific missions policy for the long-term missionary side of their ministry. We give them information. We walk them through the process. A lot of times I'll even go out, or one of our staff will go out and meet face-to-face with the missions team that's writing the policy and are going to implement it. So yeah, as a ministry, one of the things we do as part of our facilitative coaching hat that we wear is helping churches write a specialized, customized policy just for them, based on their pastor's vision, where their church is going, what the church wants to accomplish globally.
And respecting the unique call that church has, and that although we're all in the mission of God, there is a unique call within that individual church to accomplish what God has given them specifically.
Absolutely. It's not like a one-size-fits-all thing with written missions policy. It has to be an expression of the vision of the leadership of that local church.
Well said. Now, you mentioned there's four parts of this structure, and what's the next?
Okay, the other thing that we recommend is that the church leadership encourages, and actually not just encourages, but requires the missionary, prior to going to the field, to build what we call a practical care team. And the basic idea behind this is that the missionary, based on the relationships that they have with members of the church, should be able to draw together a team of 5, 6, 7 people that will come together and actually take care of the nuts and bolts logistical needs that they're going to have once they get out to the field. So it's basically a team of people within the home church of the missionary that the missionary himself has constructed, a team of people that are going to take care of the nuts and bolts, day-to-day stuff that the missionary is going to need while they're on the field. The beauty of this for the church is that it gets a larger group of people engaged hands-on in what God's doing around the world. The people that serve on this team are hands-on engaged with loving on that missionary and taking care of that missionary. And the more people that are actually practically engaged in what God's doing around the world, the healthier that church is going to be in a number of different ways.
Now, you spoke of this practical care structure, practical care team is often what we call it around here. Now, that's different than this next team, and would you explain that?
Yeah, the other structure that we recommend is what we call a missionary nurture team. And the missionary nurture team is a different group of people within the local church. It's a group of people that the pastoral staff, the leadership of the church, have selected. And basically, the missionary nurture team is a group of people that can provide pastoral level care, encouragement, nurture for the missionaries on the field. The key thing to understand is that the missionary nurture team is not going to take care of the nuts and bolts that the missionary needs. That's the practical care team. But the nurture team is going to be able to speak into the missionaries' lives, to be good listeners, to know how to encourage them, how to help not just their emotional well-being, but their spiritual well-being, and make sure that they're on track with the Lord as much as possible. Now, the key component of this is that, A, this team is selected by the leadership of the church, and the people that are on the team have met certain criteria that the leadership of the church makes sure that they meet that criteria as far as spiritual maturity themselves, the ability to give counsel, provide good counsel, be good listeners, and so forth.
So they wouldn't necessarily be ordained pastors, but they would be of that type, and both in a male and a female role, able to minister into the souls of the missionaries.
Yes, absolutely. And they're, in a sense, mature believers that have pastoral type gifts, even though they're not ordained. And we'd like to have a team composed of at least, 5 to 8 people on the missionary nurture team, with, of course, married couples. And then it's good to have a few people, single guys, a few single gals, because you have missionaries, in different categories as they go out there. The missionary nurture team is separate and distinct from the practical care team. And the missionary nurture team is created by the leadership. The practical care team is created by the missionary.
With the practical care team, each missionary or each missionary family would have their own practical care team, correct?
Correct.
With the nurture care team or the nurturing team, would that be one team within the church, or would that be a team for each individual missionary unit?
Oh, that's a great question. No, it would just be one team within the church, regardless of how many missionaries that church has out on the field. There's just one missionary nurture team. There's a practical care team for each missionary.
Well said. I like how that structure is so well thought out. Now, this final section here, we've spoken of a written policy, we've spoken of a practical care team, we've spoken of a nurturing care team, but this final one is the one we never want to actually enact, but it's incredibly important for us to have in place.
Absolutely. And, Ed, the thing of it is, the world that we live in is dangerous. And the interesting thing about this, the time that we live in these days, is not only is the world dangerous, but our ability to know how dangerous it is so much better today because of social media and just technology. And so what we strongly recommend is that a church that wants to send direct take seriously what we call crisis management. And so one of the structures that we strongly recommend is that the church create a crisis management policy and a crisis management team. What we mean by that is they need to have a written policy should something go wrong on the field, should a crisis event happen to a missionary or something that may potentially be happening to a missionary. Is there a laid out policy or path that the church is going to take in the event of a crisis? And not only having a policy, but having a team of people pre-selected, who understand what each of their roles is, that if a crisis event happens, they're going to manage the crisis.
How can we help with that, Jeff?
Well, we can, again, we can come in as part of our facilitative coaching hat. We can come in and we can help the church to write a crisis management policy. We can give them all the nuts and bolts of what they need to do to create the team, the kind of people to look for, and so forth. And then we have a specialist with a great history in law enforcement. We're networked with some other missions organizations. And so we can, in a sense, coach the crisis management team with our professional security steward manager.
Yeah, he's a great consultant. And again, that comes under the facilitative coaching hat that we wear here at Shepherd Staff. We would desire to help you and be there to hold up your arms in one of these unfortunate events.
Yes, and we'd be happy to do that. And again, we are at the point now in human history where I think to send a missionary directly to the field without being prepared for something crisis-like happening is just really unwise to even consider doing that. And so that's why we strongly recommend that the church add that structure too.
Well said, Jeff. Thank you for listening to the Shepherd Staff podcast. What we're hoping we can do is offer you help in facilitative coaching. We also desire to help in any sort of administrative help you may need in sending your own well. Please feel free to contact us at any time. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. We would love to hear even questions that you want to throw out to us via Facebook or via email. And you never know, that may provide for a future podcast. Jeff, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Sending direct is a noble thing to do. I think it's a God-honoring thing to do. Amen. I think that when a local church chooses to send their own to the field, they're doing exactly one of the things that God calls a local church to do, why he created the local church. So it's an incredible privilege, but it's a privilege that brings with it some serious responsibility. And so if you take the responsibility seriously, then you want to consider, you know, how do we do this well? How do we send well? Well, we need a written missions policy. We need to have practical care provided for our missionaries. We need to make sure our missionaries are nurtured. And if ever a crisis event happens, we need to be prepared for that. And again, as a ministry, we're here to help at any step in that process.
That's what we're here for. God bless you, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.